what about all the hypocrites in the church? Look at all the scandals of the televangelists, the health and wealth preachers, the name it, claim it, and frame it, hyper-faith prosperity preachers, these two-faced frauds and conmen. I don't want to be part of hypocrisy. The moment you start doing evangelism, you'll meet people who come up with, I'm not interested, I tried this Christianity, it didn't work for me, I didn't get my miracle, I didn't keep my miracle, I didn't get that healing, I didn't get that job interview, I didn't get that new car, I didn't win the lottery, whatever it is. But basically you can see they had ridiculously unbiblical expectations which were obviously shattered. And then they say, I've tried this Christianity, it didn't work for me. If it works for you, good for you, but it didn't work for me. And they are closed. Many people are closed not to real Christianity, they're closed to the televangelist version, which is such a public vision of Christianity that they are repulsed. Take this one that was pushed out, big billboards all over the world. The world is coming to an end on the 21st of May 2011, which, as you might have noticed, failed to transpire. In fact, there were followers of this end times false prophet who booked themselves into luxury hotels and lived the last few weeks of their life on earth before the rapture, leading up to May 2011, running up bills they could never pay, and thinking they would leave the bill with the unsaved after the rapture, which isn't actually very honest anyway, just for starters. Some people put their pets down so their pets wouldn't go through the tribulation. I mean, honestly, the shocking results of people who were and this isn't the first time. There's lots of people who've done this kind of nonsense. Now, if you are offended by hypocrisy, remember, God is far more offended by hypocrisy than you are. The Bible contains the greatest condemnations of hypocrisy ever recorded. The Apostle Paul wrote about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Satan is an angel of light. Lucifer fallen. So of course his servants can transform themselves into servants of light. How easy. Paul wrote about false brethren secretly brought in. Galatians 2:4. The Apostle Peter taught that we have to lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So hypocrisy goes along with malice, deceit, and evil speaking, envy. The writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:22, exhorts us to draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Sincerity is again and again an emphasis in the Bible. So if somebody's offended by hypocrisy, they must know, is there another book in the world that condemns hypocrisy more effectively than the Bible? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself is on record as being the greatest condemner of hypocrisy ever. He exposed hypocrisy. He condemned hypocrisy, most famously in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you have had the opportunity of seeing the Matthew film, a lot of which was filmed actually at the Rhodes Memorial right here in Cape Town, the condemnation, and because every single word of Matthew is in it, but Matthew 23, when the Lord just lays into the Pharisees and the Sadducees and rips them to pieces, it's some of the most stunning piece of film work ever, because they didn't edit one word out, and it was extraordinary, because no other film in life of Christ has dared put all of them, because the Lord actually spoke very harshly. And when you get his condemnations of hypocrisy, religious hypocrisy in particular, it's devastating. Very few people can sit still for the whole of Matthew 23 being read out. It's serious. Matthew 23 records our Lord's devastating condemnation of hypocrisy. All their works they do to be seen by men. Woe to you, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow others who are entering in. Hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses. Hypocrites! You make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, fools and blind. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Full of extortion and self-indulgence. Woe to you, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, outwardly you appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? And those are just a few words from Matthew 23. It carries on. It's relentless. So if somebody says, I'm offended by the hypocrites in the church, you can assure them God is more offended than you are. A lot more offended. God clearly demands honesty and sincerity. Our yes must be yes. Our no must be no. God doesn't like the maybe. Hypocrisy is consistently condemned throughout Scripture, from Genesis through Revelation. So people say, I don't want to come to God or to the Bible because of hypocrites. They're missing the point. This is the greatest book condemning hypocrisy ever produced. There are, of course, hypocrites and charlatans in the medical profession too. There are those who violate the Hippocratic Oath, who have vowed never to give an abortifacient to any pregnant woman, not to do anything to harm a patient. That is part of the Hippocratic Oath that every single medical practitioner is meant to accede to. And nurses, under the Florence Nightingale Pledge, I don't know if they still required them to do it, but my mother certainly did, and she is a nurse, devastating condemnation of the very practices that are today common with eugenics, abortion, euthanasia. But the nurses' code of conduct and the Hippocratic Oath for doctors swears blind they won't do that, and yet they do. There are innumerable scandals of organ harvesting from prisoners in China to provide kidneys, livers, and hearts for transplants to patients willing to pay enough. If you want a liver or kidney transplant and you can't get it in America or whatever, they fly to China. They just whip some healthy patient out of a concentration camp, probably a Christian, whip out his kidneys, liver, or heart. They don't bother to sew up the patient again. He's just going to die. They're not doing a transplant for him too. He's just there to be a donor. He's got no say in the matter. This is happening. There are hypocrites in the medical profession. Every doctor who kills a baby through abortion is a hypocrite. They're no doctors at all. I wouldn't even call them a doctor. They're abortionists. I wouldn't call it a medical clinic. It's an abortuary. I mean, call it by its name. Life begins at conception. 3 weeks after conception, the baby has a measurable heartbeat. 6 weeks after conception, the brainwave can be measured. 9 weeks after conception, the baby's fingerprints can be followed. 12 weeks after conception, everything is there. Every organ, all it needs now is nutrition and oxygen, and the baby will just continue to grow. And yet we see all around Cape Town these kind of quick same-day abortions, 100% guaranteed, safe and pain-free. Oh, really? You've got to be kidding. Certainly not safe for the baby, but the amount of people who die from these backstreet abortions anyway is shocking, and who become infertile. Doctors who kill old people through euthanasia are hypocrites. They're not doctors at all. They're just paid assassins. However, none of us should allow the presence of tens of thousands of hypocrites in the medical profession to stop us going to trust the doctors and dentists when we are ill. We know there are hypocritical medical practitioners. It doesn't stop us going to the trustworthy ones. There's a lot of counterfeit banknotes. In fact, I've ended up with a counterfeit American $100 note, which got an exchange in Zambia, and somebody switched it. I get to America, and very embarrassing. Somebody said, this is counterfeit. And how horrible to know I've got a counterfeit note in my possession. And you feel like a criminal that you even offered it for payment for something. But there are counterfeit notes. It's a horrible thing to suddenly find that, you know, you were about to cheat someone unknowingly with a note that somebody cheated you with. But that doesn't stop people using genuine banknotes, does it? I don't see people saying, I don't want any money because there's counterfeits out there. This is a counterfeit, 200 rand note. There are a lot of them out there. You've all heard the reports of hamburgers contaminated with, amongst other things, the E. coli virus. But people still want real burgers. I might say, I got E. coli a while ago, 2 weeks of absolute misery. Terrible. Didn't get from hamburgers. I don't like hamburgers that much anyway. The church is not perfect. But Jesus Christ is perfect. Jesus Christ is probably the only person who has ever perfectly practiced what he has preached. He said what he meant what he said, he did all that he promised, he perfectly lived up to God's standards of righteousness. So, okay, you might have a problem with the church, you might have a problem with a lot of preachers, but tell me one thing wrong with Jesus Christ. You can point out the failings and even frauds in the established church, but can anybody ever point any such failure or fraud in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? I've never met anyone, not an atheist, not a Muslim, not a Hindu, not an evolutionist. No one can point out something wrong in Jesus Christ. They can complain about me, they can complain about any of the televangelists, but tell me something wrong with Jesus. I'm not asking him to come to churchianity. I'm not asking him to come to our denomination. I'm not asking him to put their trust in me. I'm asking him to put their trust in Jesus Christ. Typically, hypocrisy in the church is used as an excuse. An excuse for not repenting of our sins or not surrendering our lives to Christ. By pointing out the sins of others, we try to justify our own sins. But look at all the hypocrites in the church. As the people point out to us, Naomi, you point one finger there, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. It needs to be pointed out, though, that not everyone who attends a church service is a true Christian. Many have absolutely no saving knowledge of Christ, and we know this because we do surveys. We do surveys in the shopping malls, we do surveys at our courses, and we can see a lot of people who claim to be Christians cannot articulate what the gospel is, what faith is, what repentance is. They cannot even articulate who God is. And then they attend church. We found, and you can ask John and David about this, they've given the Bible exam to pastors at seminars and had pastors fail. I've had Bible college students fail our Bible exam, and our Bible exam does not have trick questions. It's pretty straightforward. The true church of Christ consists of born-again believers, regenerated by Christ's Holy Spirit. By definition, a Christian, in order to be a Christian, has to admit that he is a sinner, and he's not good enough for heaven. So the definition of a Christian is not that I'm a good person, I'm better than my neighbors. It's I recognize that I'm rich, wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked, well-deserving eternity in hell. That's a real Christian. By virtue of being Christian, you've had to acknowledge your sinfulness and your depravity and that you deserve the wrath of God in hell. What do we pray? Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our sins. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. No Christian can call himself a Christian if he doesn't acknowledge his sinfulness. The Christian church requires a public acknowledgement of sin as a condition of membership. The very ordinances of the church make this clear. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, symbolizing burial and resurrection, death to the old life, rebirth to new life. The Lord's Supper reinforces this, emphasizing we are sinners needing God's mercy and salvation by the blood atonement. The Lord's Prayer includes a petition to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The Apostles' Creed includes the tenet, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. The regular reading of the Ten Commandments in our churches should remind us of God's standards and how we have failed. The general supplication and other aspects of church liturgy for centuries, actually over a millennium, has emphasized the public acknowledgement of sin and pleas for God's mercy. So the church has never actually claimed to be perfect. We claim to be, or if we did claim to be a fellowship of perfect people, that would be hypocritical. But the church is a fellowship of sinners who acknowledge their complete dependence on the mercy of the Almighty God to forgive them and to transform him. That is what grace means. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's undeserved favor. None of us are saying we deserve God's mercy. None of us are saying we earned our salvation. If we did, we're not a Christian by definition. The Apostle Paul claimed, I am the worst of sinners. Nobody can say Paul was a hypocrite. Paul might have exaggerated. It's hard to believe he is really the worst. I can think of a lot worse, but he perceived himself as the worst of sinners. Authentic Christians claim to be so bad they deserve to be sentenced to hell forever. John Newton's popular hymn begins, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's why Todd Friel's radio and TV ministry is entitled Wretched. In fact, he often starts his program by saying, "I'm the wretch the song talks about." It may be a good thing, actually, that there are hypocrites in the church, because the hypocrites might hear the gospel, repent of their hypocrisy, and be saved. So maybe it's not so bad that we've got hypocrites in the church. It's bad that we've got hypocrites in the pulpit, of course. We don't criticize hospitals for being full of sick people. I mean, that's what hospitals are actually built for. Sick people. Nowhere will you find a more consistent condemnation of hypocrisy than in the Bible. No one condemned hypocrisy more effectively than Jesus Christ. Nobody lived a more sincere and righteous life than Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is not logical to use the existence of hypocrites in the church as an excuse to reject Jesus Christ. No one could ever accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of hypocrisy. I've never, not in 37 years of being a Christian and doing evangelism throughout the time, never have I found anyone who accused Jesus of being a hypocrite. If you allow a hypocrite to come between you and God, then the hypocrite's closer to God than you are. If you boycott church because you hate hypocrisy, you could end up spending eternity with all the hypocrites in hell. Because all the hypocrites will end up in hell. So if you say, I'm not going to surrender to Christ because of hypocrisy in the church, then great, you can spend all your eternity with the hypocrites. There is a lot of hypocrisy in the world. Islam claims to be a peaceful and tolerant religion, while many of its members declare jihad, issue death threats, murder and mutilate vast amounts of people in the name of their religion, most recently in Paris. Newspaper editors claim to stand for freedom of speech while censoring pro-life obituaries. Do you know, every January, for Sanctity Life Sunday, National Day of Repentance, African Christian Action places obituaries in the, or tries to place obituaries in the death columns in the local newspapers, in memory of all babies killed by abortion since 1st February 1997, and it's got "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, rescue those being led away to death." Those are the scriptures. So every year, the Argus and the Cape Times refuses to put our obituaries in the death column. The Burger has no problem. The Citizen has no problem. Quite a lot of papers, especially the Afrikaans newspapers, they take our money, they put our advert, which effectively it is in the classifieds under the obituaries. But the Cape Times and the Argus, hypocrites, they say without fear or favor, all the news that's fit to print. We stand for freedom of speech. They're the biggest condemners of censorship. And then they will censor pro-life obituary. And we asked them, how can they do this? I mean, it's a paid claim. And they said, well, we can't have you using the word killed. So, well, what else can you call it? I mean, these babies were, their lives were terminated. Is that not the same thing as killing them? And they, well, you know, this is only for real deaths. Are you telling us the babies aren't real? And well, you know, and they backwards and forwards. And then they came out with, we can't have it if it's just for all babies because it's got to be specific. I said, but that's not true, because in your births column, you regularly allow these mothers and babies' shops to put in to all mothers who have given birth to babies, and you know, congratulations. So they've got catch-alls there. I'm a member of the Moths. The Moths regularly will put in memorials, especially 11th November, in memory of all soldiers who died in the wars, and they might specify which war. They accept that. So this is just hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy on every level. And they've done it year after year after year. And we've invited them to come and debate. The editor of the Cape Times in August, please come, Radio Time Group, we'll debate your censorship. And they're too cowardly to even turn up the radio station for it. Total cowards. Hypocrites. Communists champion themselves as liberators and champions of justice. They condemn oppression. They uphold themselves as the ones who liberate it. While communist regimes have been the most oppressive regimes in all of history. No other regimes have imprisoned as many people, executed as many hundreds of millions of victims, deliberately starved so many millions, erected such huge institutions of oppression, built the biggest obstacle courses in history in the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall, employed more secret police, imprisoning whole nations behind an iron curtain of barbed wire, minefields, electric fencing, and machine gun towers with killer dogs. And they want to talk about freedom and liberation. Are they kidding? Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, had this to say about the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall stands as concrete proof that when people have a choice, they choose to be free. Freedom has its problems, but we've never needed to build fences to keep our people in. Just in the 20th century alone, over 160 million people were killed by communist governments, even while they claimed to be devoted to world peace. And 100 million were documented in the Black Book of Communism, just in the Soviet Union and its satellites, between 1917 and 1991. Even while they claimed to be dedicated, devoted to world peace. Hypocrisy is voting against gun ownership and the right to self-defense in your home while surrounding yourself with armed security secret service agents 24 hours out of every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Hypocrisy. I've said to our politicians frequently, cancel your security. If you really want gun control, don't have armed police around the parliament or your homes. I mean, why should you have all these VIP security police there while we aren't even allowed to have a weapon to protect ourselves? The African Union continually talks about democracy and human rights, while a vast majority of government leaders represented at the African Union are dictators, unelected mass murdering thugs, dictators, thieves. And they talk about democracy and human rights? That is bizarre. The worst dictators in history, Idi Amin, Mobutu Sese Seko, all these characters, Emperor Bokassa, Charles Taylor, democracy, freedom, Mugabe. Many in our country condemn racism while consistently supporting the most racist regime on the continent, Robert Mugabe, ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe. Now, if people want a scandal, look at the scandal of ivory poaching in Zimbabwe. The massacres of elephants in Zimbabwe to pay for tanks and fighter bomber aircraft from Red China. Red China is taking our diamonds, our gold, and our ivory from Africa. People are being shot. They've machine gunned with helicopter gunships. They're what they call illegal miners, as though the government owns all the minerals of the country. This is the presidential guard. Do you see that's the president's guard's parade? Wearing these full-face helmets, machine guns, and what they're doing, they're going to shoot up the people who are mining the diamonds in the Mereng diamond fields. When I was brought up in Rhodesia, one Rhodesian dollar was worth $3 American. The Americans had to pay $3 to get one Rhodesian dollar. We could buy a lot with a dollar. Let me tell you, with one Rhodesian dollar, you could get Airfix soldiers, a whole box for painting, and an Airfix model tank or aircraft that you could assemble and so on. You could go to the cinema for 20 cents. You could buy popcorn for 5 cents. You could get Coca-Cola for 4 cents. You could. One Rhodesian dollar was worth a lot of money. $100 trillion of the Zimbabwe banks worth nothing. Nothing. You can't buy half a loaf of bread with that. And that's after they struck 16 zeros off already. One brick cost more than all the properties in all of Zimbabwean independence. $1,072,418,003,000,000 only. Today's special.
No.
No fuel. This is Zimbabwe. Progress. Change is not necessarily progress. The new Toyota Corolla, seen in Zimbabwe. People have to get very innovative just to manage deliveries. This is how you get some hot water in Zimbabwe sometimes, maybe, if you're lucky. That's with a generator. No wonder more than half of the total population of Zimbabwe have fled the freedom and liberation of Mugabe in Zimbabwe. But humanists claim to stand for tolerance, yet they're thoroughly intolerant of evangelical Christians. Humanists champion diversity and pluralism, yet they work steadfastly to exclude all Christian views from the public sphere. They're teachers who believe in the sanctity of marriage, and they're expected to go against their own conscience to teach a student situation ethics and perverse alternative lifestyles. Is that not hypocrisy? To say we stand for diversity and tolerance and pluralism, but you must teach what's against your conscience. Evolutionists claim to be for freedom of speech, but they regularly ban dissension or any discussion, and they fire scientists who question Darwinian evolution on scientific grounds or who consider intelligent design. If you doubt this, watch the film Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, by Ben Klein. He's not a Christian. He's, as far as I know, a secular Jew, but he just finds it ridiculous what is going on in universities, and he's made effectively a comedy out of a documentary showing the hypocrisy of these so-called scientists. I don't want to use the word scientist, but the highlight of the film is when he gets Richard Dawkins in the studio and interviews him of, well, if God didn't create the world, where do you think life came from? And Richard Dawkins says, aliens from other planets. Dead serious. He can't believe the Bible, but he's trying to tell us aliens from other planets introduced life to the earth. Then the question is, well, where did those aliens come from? Other aliens from other planets. And those ones? Other aliens from another universe. And, oh, come on. You know, really. Talk about hypocrisy. And he's trying to belittle Christians for believing in the Bible, and he believes in aliens. Atheism is the belief that nothing was there, and nothing happened to nothing, and then nothing magically exploded for no reason, creating everything. And then a bunch of everything magically rearranged itself for no reason whatsoever into self-replicating bits, which turned into dinosaurs. Makes perfect sense to an evolutionist. Richard Dawkins, championing this campaign, there's probably no God. I just love that word, probably. He doesn't even have the guts to say there is no God. What a spineless coward. He can't even have the courage of his own convictions. Well, I like what the Christians in Britain did. They put out adverts on the side of the bus. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Psalm 14, verse 1. And then there's definitely a God. Which, I mean, that shows conviction. So, two can play at this bus advert game. The fact is, humanism is the most destructive religion of all time, and is the most intolerant. So if somebody says, more people have died in wars of religion than anything else, well, actually, that's true. If you recognize that atheism is a religion. Even amidst the original 12 disciples of Christ, there was Judas. The ultimate hypocrite, the ultimate traitor. Betraying the Lord for a kiss. But that hasn't stopped millions of Christians throughout the ages from finding grace and peace at the foot of the cross. Sure, they're the Judases. We're not going to let them keep us from Jesus. If you have been let down or betrayed by a professing Christian, don't let that come between you and God. I've been betrayed and stabbed in the back and stolen from and lied about by many professing Christians. I have had a lot of horrible hypocrites try to destroy my life. I'm not going to let that come between me and the Lord. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Many people despise and reject what they think is Christianity, when what they're merely rejecting is the hypocritical churchianity which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself rejected and condemned, which is why we've given so much time and space to dealing with a call for discernment and justice in Peter's ministry, and looking at the health and wealth, name it and claim it and frame it, prosperity cults, gab it and grab it cult, because that is such a public face of Christianity that many people are turned off Christianity and say, I'm not interested. But they're not actually rejecting the gospel, they're rejecting the fake, which we also reject. And if we can know that, and we can speak some of their language, and they can realize, oh, you also see the same, you're also offended by the same things I'm offended by, now we can start talking. So it's so important that you know, because I'm convinced that a vast amount of people that reject the gospel on the streets are not rejecting the gospel. They probably haven't even heard it. They're rejecting what they see on TBN and God TV and the scandals that they've heard, and they're repelled. And I don't blame them. We're repelled too, and we can say, well, Jesus hates it even more than you do. A lot more. Do not let the counterfeit and the false keep you away from the genuine and the real. So this is one chapter in the Answering Skeptics book, which if you did not already get at the camp, you will get at the end of this course. We've got an audio as well. We've put them on our website. We're putting these PowerPoints also on SlideShare, so that a person can get hold of these great resources. If you do not have the Call for Discernment DVD box set, then let us know and we'll try and organize by the end of the course that you can take that back and you can show it and use it to educate and inform your people. This is such a problem. The disease is out there, so let's take the antidote. Any questions or comments?
This is kind of, I feel kind of late to me, but can you like really briefly summarize humanism, just like define it?
Humanism is placing man at the center of all things and making man the measure of all things. So humanism is centered around man. Like theism is about God, Christianity is about Christ. Humanism, what's the sense of humanism? Man. So humanism is all about man. So there's different brands of humanism. You get cosmic humanism, which is New Age movement. You get secular humanism, which is atheism, evolutionism, socialism, that sort of thing. You get Marxist humanism. You get existentialism, the only thing that matters, me, myself, and I, my personal experience now, who cares about history, who cares about the future, who cares about others, the only thing is me, myself, my experience now. You get hedonism, wine, woman, song, live for the moment, who cares about anything else, it's all about my own personal pleasure. You get the different types of humanism, which is materialism, is another brand, only thing exists, what I can see and touch. Things like love and music, which you can't see and touch, obviously aren't real. So, yes, that's humanism in a nutshell. It's bad. Any other question or comment?
Yeah, I want to ask, and also I want to comment. You know, there are people that go on outreaches to the small village. Like, you know, 3 years ago, before I came into the mission, I met the group for the first time. We went to the small village that is now I am ministering to at this moment. And you know, I didn't know anything about mission by that time. But when I get there, they do a 1 week, they evangelize, and then they get to the chief and they organize the whole village to come to the tribal place, the quota, we call it there. And they start so-called discipling. A week discipling program, and then they disciple the people, and in that very same week, they elected leaders of the church. So to say that this is the church now that is the leaders of the church that is there. And then, you know, when I went back, then I came back, I mean, after 3 years, I came back to the place, and I was told that you are going to be leading this this church, you are going to be teaching this church that is there. And then when I got there, there were people gathering, you know, but all of them were unsaved, they were from other different churches. And the moment I started to preach salvation, repentance, and, you know, the gospel, and people, they walk out, they walk away, and I was left like nothing. And then that's when I started from the scratch. Now, this whole thing is like a fake kind of foundation. I have to start from scratch, from creation, all the way to Christ and ascension. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what can you call those people? I mean, the church.
There are a lot of unsaved church people, even unsaved missionaries out there. We've met them. It's distressing. You mustn't take for granted people's salvation because they say they're Christians. For example, we know that there were people at our camp who did not know the Lord. There were people who came to the Lord at the camp. There were people who came to the camp who I could see from the questionnaires, they did not understand the gospel. We tried to rectify that during time. There was good times of counseling. We, on occasion, have made the mistake of assuming everybody in the Bible college would be saved. We came to the conclusion that everybody at the minister's conference would be saved, and that's not true. There's an enormous amount, for as John's been dealing with, there's a lot of people who get involved in ministry for different reasons other than love for God and a commitment to the Great Commission, a call. People get involved for many reasons. Status, public image. For example, when I went to Dr. James Kennedy's church, founder of Evangelism Explosion, big church, 12,000 people adherents, massive, massive cathedral. And I've made some positive comments. He said, "Peter, don't be deceived. Everything is not as good as it looks." He said, "I wish I could say all my members are saved, but I'm sure many are not. There are people who sat on this ministry for years and have never even witnessed to one soul. And many haven't even surrendered their lives to Christ." He said, "I wish I could say all my staff were saved, but we've got 240 staff, including the school teachers. I know they're not all saved." He said, "I wish I could say all my elders are saved." He said, "I cannot. Our music minister just came to Christ. And Coleridge Presbyterian Church is not the first church he started at. That's the summit of his career. I won't tell you how many Presbyterian churches he's been minister of music on." But he said, "You must watch out for the music ministry in particular. Many people in music ministry come in who are not saved. Because musicians need an audience. And the church is one of the main places in the world where they use music and need music and need musicians. And so many people get involved in the church and they become the pianist, the organist, the worship leader, whatever, guitar player, drummer, whatever it may be, because they're musicians and they need a place for their gifting, but they're not saved. And so many churches have had splits caused by the worship leader when the pastor started to try and deal with sin, and the worship leader goes off and takes a third of the congregation or so off with him in his church split because they were like, you know, they're there for the praise and worship, so-called, and a worship leader is not even saved. But this happens a lot. So do not be surprised if Jesus had a Judas amongst his handpicked 12 disciples. Don't be surprised if you get false brethren in ministers' conferences and even having an outreach any time. We should not be shocked. We should be delighted when we meet genuine Christians on fire for Christ. That's a pleasant surprise. But don't be surprised and shocked and knocked off balance when you find there's unsaved people in the mission field. They are there. And you wonder, what are you doing here? Well, as we were looking at, there's many motives. Abraham, would you close in prayer for us, please? And then we will move immediately into the boardroom for the next session.
Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to see you and learn more about the hypocrites, Father. As you can see in your time, Jesus, the church was full of hypocrites, but still you don't preach and teach the people. Thank you that you can know the hypocrites according to your word, by just do a study and see how they live, Father. Please open our eyes, because it's so easy blinded by the devil. Please teach us and learn us in the way we must go. Give us the strength, Father, and the knowledge that we can study and show ourselves approved according to your word. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.